Looking around at all the things that are happening around, you see many people who don't care about what the Lord gave them. They always want to jump into something that they see or hear about. But do you know that you don't have the right to leave your sheep until the Lord will take you out of them himself? The problem of many Christians, the problem of many ministers who want to jump into something, you know, the time is coming that maybe you want to go back just to rest, but the Lord has established a wall and you will never return back there. You know, I like when the Lord translates, when the Lord moves you to the next level, no matter what you do. It's impossible to return back there. I don't know who understands me or who doesn't understand me, but I know there is a couple of people who understand me. There is a level where the Lord is setting you. Do you want this or you don't want this? You start moving in something so new, and everyone around you starts seeing that you are not the same person, you are not the same man, that you are not the same who you were yesterday. Let's read together a few passages from the scripture that I based my sermon on, and we'll go deeper. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 20, 21, 22. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. Let's look carefully on how this moment happened in the life of David. So David rose early in the morning, and he left the flock with a keeper. Took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp. See, this person was obedient. Remember this moment. That was the very last moment in the life of David when he saw his sheep, and he didn't even plan to leave them. He thought that he will simply bring some food to his brothers and he will come back. Many of us has planned everything that they will be doing in a year. You don't know what you'll be doing in 1 year. Only God knows what you'll be doing. I thought on what I will be doing in 1 year. And I came into my ministry after 12 years. Do you listen to me? God forbid you. May God keep you from this. May this path be shorter. But I'm talking about things that I know about. I was trying to artificially give up my sheep. I was trying to artificially tell myself that this is not mine, but this is yours, and you're coming back there. Tell me, please, where are you? This is your place. This is your ship. I just have a very little home group, but I have such a big dream. Oh, this topic is just for you. I have just a very little business. I have very little family. I have very little church. I have a very little ministry. Yeah, this topic is just for you. There are some people that will get a word straightly. You will leave your sheep. And the second type, you still have to stay with your sheep. Because some people think that the further I leave my flock that the Lord gave to me, your sheep can be anything. I'm not talking that the lambs are waiting for you back home. I'm not talking about this. Maybe some people have lambs, sheep at home. Yeah, but I'm talking to those people who have work, and you want to leave this work. You feel good, but you know this, but I'm content, but I'm praising God, but this but, this speaks about that you are not there yet, but you still don't have the right to leave your place if the Lord didn't take you from there. But for some people, this is the season. It's the season. I'm not talking that this is yesterday, today or tomorrow, but this is the season when the Lord will be calling you off from your flock. and you will see a completely new level in your life. You'll be completely on a new level. You'll be surprised what will happen to you in the next season. Look. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in the battle array shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Okay, let's move further. Verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, we know this story very well. When David heard everything, he didn't like this. He started learning, finding out what he can do about this. He started doing these steps that he's not supposed to do in this field. You need to understand that you will be given an opportunity from God to do something. You will see an opportunity, a possibility that's not yours. But maybe the Lord will open a door for you. Maybe a door will be opened for you. The door will mean that this is not your door, or this door is just for you. When there was such a possibility, no one even ever thought that this possibility is for David. He was simply passing by, a passerby. But we all know that there is no accidents with God. Nothing is by accident with God. Speaks that if I have gotten into this situation, then something has to be done about this. This is not going to be an easy situation. Maybe this is a very risky situation, but exactly here is the place where you are tested. This is where you pass your test. Will you move to the next level of your calling, or you'll stay with your sheep till the time when you will pass your test? Verse 28. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down?" And this phrase that my sermon is based upon, "And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." We are looking at this situation, and I would like to ask you a question. Do you have sheep? If you don't have sheep, then there is nothing to call you from. Please stop feeding on empty illusions. Before leaving the sheep, you have to have sheep. Something has to be from what you'll be called. If you don't have anything, destroy your plans and get into depression. Because I'm telling you immediately that you will never move from emptiness. David wasn't simply on a field. His brothers were in a field who never reached anything in their life. They simply reached the age for the army, and they were called to go to army. But this man had a job, had a business. Jesus was a carpenter. Where is your stool? What are you doing? Do you have sheep? Where are your sheep? I'm dreaming. Forget about it. Do you have sheep? No sheep? Forget about your dream. Oh, I thought that now I will be shaken and I will start. No. The sheep are there. Please stop feeding on illusions. All the ministry starts with the sheep. Here they are. No one sees me. No one knows me. My name is unknown. And I'm not needed to anyone, even if anyone hears about me. I'm simply sitting here on my field with a few sheep, as the eldest brother said. And I'm singing songs. I'm protecting. Who knows anything about my victories? Just yesterday I tore apart a bear. Who knows about my achievements? I destroyed a lion yesterday, wolves who were attacking my flock. Nobody knows now. I'd like to record a video and put on YouTube as I was defeating the bear. And the recording of yourself start, my friend. The recording on the film where this sheep and you, it will never be popular. This place has never been predestined for the Lord to be advertised. This is the internal war. This is the inward preparation where your character is being built, where you are being built. For some of you, this is like... This is like a bucket of cold water. Well, but I thought, I don't know what you thought. I know about my sheep. I know how my sheep didn't want to leave me. I wanted to give them up. I was so tired of them. It's not going anywhere. It's not successful. No matter what I did. These sheep were they don't want anything. They want biscuits and tea. They simply want to watch TV. I'm telling them, we're going to war. And they just want grass. Who understands me? Who has sheep? Sheep, why are they so weird? They don't move anywhere. They don't want anything. They don't have any goal in their life. Sheep is your life, which is unsuccessful. It's not necessarily people. Maybe God told you to be in business and you are born by God. As I see saved people, you see thousands of dollars, green, everything is green. The best color is green, even the car is green. You understand? If the Lord called you to business, you'll be the most successful business person. But the dollars don't listen to you, they don't run to you, they run away from you. You just invested them and they and they run away from you. You thought this is something successful and I'll invest in this and you invested. And that's it. And that was the very last time that you talked to them, to your dollars. And sheep, your business, your deal, your... I don't want it. The second moment, maybe... You've got big victories on your field, and nobody knows about these victories, you know? Understand? Yeah, success or defeat, or nobody knows about this. Nobody needs me. And this is where your heart is being tested. Why are you doing this? For other people to see you, to know you? With the sheep, the motivation of your heart is being tested. What do you want to reach? What do you want to reach in your life? Popularity, recognition, success. For other people to know you, to see you, to listen to you, to hear you. What do you want to reach in your life? What is it? It's not about video, it's not about audio. Where do your heart is? You understand? No, sometimes they record on tape what is not necessary to be recorded. They show what's not needed to be recorded. When it will reach its own level, and you will move from sheep to your calling in one day, everybody will know you. Oh, church. Some people don't understand me completely. You think that this is step by step, or I'm grabbing another sheep and another sheep? How do you know? Maybe the Lord will simply take and move you to another place, and everything that you thought about, and maybe they anointed you and they prophesied upon you. And you're so anointed, all prophesied upon. They laid so many hands upon you, and you're returning back to your sheep. Amen. They didn't put the crown on you. They just kicked your back, and they told you go and collect grass for the winter. Imagine the prophet came and he poured a lot of oil on your head, and then what's next? Nothing's next. How? I received the prophecy. Relax. Where are your sheep? Where your sheep are, you have to be there. Amen? Enjoy your job. Enjoy your work. Stop setting terms or doing all kind of science. stop waiting for profit. Yeah, start doing what you're supposed to do in that moment of life. Therefore, my first point is, where are your sheep? Do you have sheep? If you don't have sheep, you don't have a starting point. How can you write your resume? Where did you work? When you will move to that level, you already have to have a lot of work history to be able to move with this work history further. Where? I don't believe in sheep. I believe in kaboom, and here we go. There is very little time. The topic is serious. Some people had kaboom, and they went. The first guy with kaboom was Saul. And one day he came out, and one day he went off, and he was buried there. Look, when the battle occurred, you know, we all know what happened there. Saul tried to put on David its own garments, its own armor. So now we move away from the sheep. You understand? You understood the sheep. Okay, let's move next to next topic. And when Saul wanted to put on David his garments for him to die beautifully, he decided not to do that. He decided to keep his own personality, and he won. He didn't need anything of what the Lord didn't give to him. If some of you think that I need this man or I need this person to be fulfilled, I need this one on the camera, this one on the microphone, this one on the guitar, I need this team, you are wrong. All of your life you will be looking for someone that you will never find. Everything that you need to do for victory, it's been inside of you for a long time. You simply need to find that weapon. Sometimes you want to go and overcome there, but the Lord didn't send you there. You've got the tools to overcome in another place. You're a professional. You don't need any helpers. You will make it by yourself. And when they tried to change David's garments, to put the armor, to teach him to fight, he said, I'm sorry, I can't do like that. I'm already all wet. I'm not an astronaut. And so he took all of this scrap metal off him, and he went and did his job so quickly that Saul didn't eat the cheese that David brought. And David was already with the head of Goliath in one hand and his sword in another. And it speaks about that David didn't need his help. So if David needed something on the field, the enemy will give this as a gift to him. He couldn't cut his head with the slingshot, so he borrowed Goliath's sword and cut his head. Even if you go to battle, he told Goliath, I will take your head off you. And David said, no, I will take the head off you. I'll kill you. And David at least had the tool. David promised something to him that he couldn't fulfill, that David thought that he will, you beast, I will cut your head with your own sword. So don't ever worry about it. God will give everything that you need in the right moment, at the right second that you need. Therefore, I completely trust in my Lord. Let's move further. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Now it came about, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that was after the victory. You understand? Now we are moving after victory. That the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. You hear me? That's it. That was your test. You moved. And now someone is telling you, that's it. You can't go back anymore to your father's house. The sheep, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, this job is given to another person. Now you've got something completely new. You've got a completely new level. You've been shown to the world, and now it is impossible to return back. You understand why it's impossible? Because David, in that moment, became more popular than Saul in one day. You understand me, church? what does it mean to wait for your moment, for your time, and to come into your time? Saul, all of his life, was fighting and was struggling. He gave a bribe here, a relationship with there. I will make friends with my pastors. We'll make a conference there, and then I will become a good pastor, a great pastor. And God has a joke. This joke is called calling. Amen. If you don't cut, but you go head to head, if you don't cut corners, in one day you become more popular than all those who've been going to this for 20 years. Why? Because God called you. You were faithful with your sheep, amen? Or for some people, this is very deep. This field is for individual people. So, I believe that there are people here who understand what I'm talking about. I believe that the church needs to grow, to go deep into God and to reach something in this world. Amen? This is what we're going to, this is what we are fighting for. Let's move forward. So when Jonathan loved David as himself, and Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house, then Jonathan made a covenant with David. Look what kind of covenant. Because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. Listen very carefully. It's a very thin line here. Saul wanted to put his garments on David. And who put his garments on David? Jonathan. Oh, what does it mean? Wait, you'll hear now. It speaks about the next thing. You have the right to wear the clothes on of that person that you have a spiritual covenant with. Now this person, he is helping you to move in your calling, because you don't anymore. You could overcome Goliath in shorts and with a slingshot, no problems. But now where you're going into, you need the uniform of a warrior. You hear me? They wanted to change your clothes. He didn't take, because the armor of Saul wasn't even more serious than the clothes of Jonathan. But Jonathan loved him so much, they made a covenant. Amen. They became like one. They loved each other as friends. They made a covenant, a spiritual covenant. And now you see these two men loving each other. And the most interesting is what Jonathan is doing. He takes his stuff of himself, the sword and the rest of the stuff. What is it about? How can I make a covenant? Don't pay attention. I had an unseen covenant with people. They didn't even know that I'm using their weapons. They didn't even understand that I'm using their revelations for that moment. I'll explain you what does it mean. I was using their weapons, their armor. I was using what was reached by them until I put my own armor. You hear? There are things that you need. I want to ask you the second question. Yeah, we solved the matter with the sheep. Who do you have a spiritual covenant with? And it speaks about that maybe this person is not on this continent. I'll tell you immediately. What does it mean to be in a spiritual covenant and to use the weapon of that person? It's not just these words of this person. Books or TV programs, they feed you. You're being fed by the periods and commas between the phrases of this person. This is a spiritual covenant. Do you want this or you don't want this? Everyone had this covenant. I will confirm you even from our time with our God's generals who were teaching, were learning from some great people before them, and then they went into their calling. We all need to understand that when God is taking from you the sheep and is moving you into your calling, the life of a single person, of a sole person, is ending. You hear me? We got used to fight by ourselves, and we think that when we start getting into our calling, we don't need anyone. Believe, you need someone who will be training you, who will be sharpening you, who will help you to sharpen your calling. You will see how the books, video, audio, material, programs, life of this person will be feeding you. You hear me? This is what it means to be a person of the covenant. He gave you his armor, not otherwise. Not David gave his slingshot to Jonathan. Jonathan gave everything to David. And I'm simply enjoying this. You know, this topic is a little deeper than I usually speak. Today you will think, today you'll ponder on what the Holy Spirit told me. This is a very thin line when Saul wanted to put his garment on David. Here, David, he kept his style, his individuality. That's why Jonathan loved him. You hear me? That is why Jonathan loved David. And he saw his originality. And you understand that when David, he was doing the wars, he didn't need anymore the slingshot. You understand me? There are things that pass. There are revelations that you move from with the sheep. That was okay. Where you were, that was your weapon. That was the best weapon. But now the time is coming for you to get into a small you are disbalanced, and that weapon is not working anymore. And now you have to dig a little deeper. Now you have to face with someone who is breathing on this field, who is living on this field. Amen. Now you need a book of a person, the life of a person. And I'm not talking to become a cheap copy. I'm talking that someone needs to train you. And very often the disciples went further than their teachers because they didn't have their own armor, but they also had their own. We need to understand this. We need to understand the difference between copies and changing the dresses, and when they give you the armor, the right armor. Saul told you, put the armor. They will tell you, don't go, don't pray, don't have fellowship. They want to dress you. But when the person gives as a gift, he lays everything down at your feet. He takes everything off himself. He didn't tell him, not put it on. He told him, this is yours. Now you've got stuff to train with. Amen. They didn't put the stuff on you. They didn't steal your personality. They simply gave you that as a gift. What does it mean? I was walking in my life and I stumbled on one pastor or two pastors in my personal life who so much started speaking into my life, and I didn't choose them. They chose me. You hear me? Why? Why another person didn't choose me? Why I didn't choose another person? But exactly these or and that one, they simply jumped on me out of this television, out of their programs, as if they personally knew me and they were speaking directly to me. What does it mean? It means that their dress is now mine. It speaks that I start going into the training. And if you are that person that God is moving into training, you will see how you start soaking, training, using what God is giving you from this or that or another person. Who understands me here in this place? Jonathan loved David for his individuality and originality because he kept his personality. Something is changing in the spiritual world and you simply can't return back anymore, my friends. This is the same as I won't take an example of someone. This is not polite. I simply can play jokes on myself. This is as if I would go today to a town, little town, to give up everything and say, I want to have a home group from three people. You understand me? You understand that this a little home group will become a church again. You understand me? It speaks that no matter what you do, as if, like David, they were singing songs about him after the victory. He's returning back. He won't be led back to the to his sheep. The king stood in his way and told him, "You can't go back to your sheep. You are very important for this army." Saul himself loved David, and he told him, "Don't go." You need to understand that this wall that you're going over, this wall, there is no way back. If you have a way back, these are your sheep, you've got to be there. But if you are stepping over this spiritual wall, I can't help anyone. You've got to get over it in the spiritual world. You were just a musician, and now you've become a real musician. It's like to take a serious band and put it in a little village. No, it's impossible. When you grow and you become big, it's impossible to put you in a small box. This is just a level. That's your level. This is what I'm talking about. You are moving to the next level, and you are becoming someone that you weren't before. You will want to return back, and you are too big to return back. You understand me? In the spiritual world and your achievements. The first, let's talk now quickly, a few points. I will be ending. Number one, you don't decide to leave your flock. God does it in the spiritual world. It is done by the Holy Spirit. It is done when you end your school. Saul didn't allow. The influence of the Spirit, yeah. Who sees, who listens, there are people. Maybe there is someone on TV who is listening to me. Stop giving up artificially what God gave you. I've seen so many ministers and people who jumped artificially from their level of sheep. They jumped onto the level of sheep, and guess what happened? Their level of sheep stayed the same, in the same place at the level of pastorship. Do you understand me? We know so many pastors who will never be able to overcome the border of 20, 30 people all their life, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ministers who can't overcome this barrier. They can get even television. Nobody will be watching them. You need to listen to me carefully. If some of you believe that I will get a TV channel and everyone will be watching me, no, on the contrary, nobody will be watching you, and then you will get such a spot, oh, this is this guy, no, we're not going there anymore. When God is moving you from the level of a shepherd to the level of a warrior and king, then even when you return to the level of a sheep, then you'll get an army against around you. When you artificially are moving from the shepherd to a king, then in the kingdom you'll have a field and sheep. The same level will be there. Listen to me carefully. We will think, and to buy or to move to the next level, I need to make a step. No, this is happening in the spiritual world. You are being moved from a class to a class. You don't decide to jump from the first class, first grade to the fifth grade, because there. You don't decide, I want to be there. No, you'll be translated. You'll be moved. Next year, you go to the second grade. Amen? We don't decide. Somebody else decides in the spiritual world. And it is seen, no matter where you go, this seal, this is the seal of the level on you, of a good level or of a bad level. No matter what you do, if God doesn't move you, you'll bring your failure to your next level. No matter where you go, everything will fall apart. There is a saying, everything that's big starts with small, and everything that's small starts with big. Oh, he rented a big church, he did a lot of advertising, he bought a lot of cameras, and then and nobody came. And then debt, failure, sold out everything and you're sitting. Why? Because God did move you to that level. You hear me? Stay on your level until He moves you to the next level. Stop running around. Or maybe at this conference I'll be... No, maybe at this conference I'll be moved to the next level. No, there will be a moment when you will feel this is my test, this is my exam. That's why don't move artificially to the next level. That's why many people felt a failure, because they left their ship before time. You will never go away from your calling if you stay close to God. You will never be able to run away from your calling if you stay close to God. The next point is, when you move to the new area, to the new, there will always be someone who is teaching you, who is training you, who is taking care of you. I didn't have any friends on that level. No one needed me at that level, and everything that I was feeding upon was books and video books, audio of some pastors who were building me on that level. I was eating, I was feeding myself until the time when the Lord said stop, and then the next level starts. The next moment, I want to ask you a question. Who do you have a covenant with? Who is feeding you? Are there people who you're learning from, who are you enjoying? It's not just a book here, a book there. You read till the half of the book, you dropped it. No, you've got the library of this pastor. Can I come to your house and see who is feeding you? Can you understand me? If you will come to my, if you will ever get to my house, if you'll come down to my house, where I've got my pool table. I've got a videotech, an audiotech, a big one. No one will ever be asking questions who was feeding me. You understand me? Any one of you may come to my house and find where I started and whose armor I was bearing and who I was enjoying and learning from. So, do you have a covenant? If you're a musician, you'll have this musician on the wall. If you like songs, you'll have this. So my question is, who do you have a covenant with? Where do you move? If you move in material blessing, where God is moving you to bless some great projects in the future, whose books are you reading? Who are you learning from? From those people who are changing lives. We're making investments and we're becoming multimillionaires, if not billionaires. Who do you have a covenant with? Ask yourself this question, because this is a very serious, fundamental question. Very often this covenant is unseen. Those people don't know until this day that they were my fathers or teachers. It's an unseen covenant. It's me. They were speaking to me and I took this. Where did you start it from? Who is your teacher? We are used to live alone. That's why it's so easy for the devil to defeat us. We never feed. We think that we will alone will be strong. You know, every time when it's hard, I was reading the book of my champion, or I was watching a tape of my champion, and I was starting feeding myself and enjoying and strengthening myself. Never forget, please, if you don't have the one that you're feeding from, you are the poorest people on this earth. Because alone, I will tell you what your life will be like. Depressions, disappointments, lack of desire of moving in God, and complete failure, no matter what you do, because you've got to learn, and you are too proud to feed from somebody's table, because you know everything by yourself, and this is where your problem is, because in the beginning, everyone feeds from somebody's table, everybody needs somebody's bread until they start getting their own. In the beginning, you've got to wear the armor of the person you have a covenant with. Don't be ashamed of somebody's revelations. Don't be afraid to learn. In the process, you'll take your place. Don't be afraid of wearing my clothes. Don't be afraid to wear the clothes of the person you are listening to or reading his books, because in the process you'll be higher than everyone else if you don't stop, because God has appointed this, and this way he has created this world. Children always learn from their parents, and woe to those parents who try to make their children as themselves. You know where the problems start with the pastors and the leaders? It's when they try to make everyone else like themselves. You listen, you hear. You know why the churches are copies? Copies never worked, because only original churches worked. And my business is to grow up children and to give them the teaching, and then they will become who they want. And I even ask God, oh, your son will become a pastor. I'm asking God for him not to become a pastor. You know why? I want him to become who God wants him to be. And the father was a pastor. And now we see the father was great, and then the son was somewhere behind. He was never fighting in fights. He simply got into this ministry because of his father. Everyone needs to get his own. We need to win our own battle. Stop walking after someone, because what I've occupied, it's not mine. This is a copy. My business is to train you, is to make you strong, and then to give you your own field of battle and to see how you fight and who God wants to see you. That's why, my dear, don't be ashamed. We all know. I will simply mention a few people to spread this wrong understanding. I will alone when the devil destroys you. You don't have anyone to read. I don't accept anything. I don't want to listen to anyone. I don't need anyone. We know such a great minister as Benny Hinn. It's a wonderful person. I'm enjoying myself when I listen to his. I've got a lot of books. You know who was his teacher? Catherine Kuhlman. You know, such a minister, Lester Sumrall, there is a great minister of our century. This is a person who overcame international walls. He preached in countries and places where other people were afraid to go. He raised up such churches and ministers as Bob Larson. Such a bump in America, and he's just starting developing. You know who his father was? Smith Wigglesworth was the father of Lester Sumrall. We are watching and we are amazed. You know that someone has to carry somebody's mantle before you get your own anointing. You understand me, my friends? There is a moment where you want, where you don't want. You are carrying the mantle, and you have the mantle and you're learning, and then you're Elijah. He's asking you the question, dear Elisha, what do you want? You know, we always speak of what we don't want. We can't serve, we can't wear, we can't learn, we can't. We want to get into the ministry immediately because we have seen that. What you have seen, do you know what a long way was for the person before you to reach there? Let's stop cutting corners, shortcuts, bribes, and relationships to jump into your own calling and say, sheep then sheep, Father, 10 then 10 years, 20, 20 years, then in 1 year you know who you can become. Oh, my friends, calmly, silently, balanced, calm down, relax. Number one, you've got to have sheep. And on the second level, for those who are moving to the, you've got to have someone who will train, who will sharpen you, and who is taking you to your future, to your calling. You understand me? How can we call a person who is fulfilled? A person who is fulfilled. You can be fulfilled only when you're dressed in the dress of your calling. You understand me? The calling of your own dress, your own armor. What does it mean, the dress is of my calling? It means that it's impossible to mistake me for someone else. You understand me? When you hear someone, a preacher, he's preaching like this one or like that one. No, he's not yet out of the clothes of his teacher. Sometimes it's okay, it's not bad. Please continue, be like your teacher, no problems. But the most important for you not to get stuck in this level. This is normal when children, for the first time, they look like their father or mother. It's okay when they dress, when they try to walk in mother's or father's shoes, or the jacket of the father till the floor. We understand that this is all okay for children, but this is but when they don't grow up, it's a trouble. So please know that to be a fulfilled person, it means that when you are impossible to be mistaken for someone else, you are original, you are the only personality, you are fulfilled, and you've overcome with your own weapons. You grew on somebody's weapon, but you've overcome on your own. So I'm just encouraging you to go forward, not to be afraid of your own field, but to say, oh, I've got a field, praise God, then I've got where to progress from, I've got where to move from. Sometimes you're watching after people who are all of their life, they're trying to go somewhere, and God is leading them to start from a small, to serve someone, to carry somebody's mantle, to train and to learn. So may God bless you. Did you take something for yourself? Let's get up. Let's simply thank God. Let's be prepared what God will be doing today. Let's rest in God. Father, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I'm praising your name. I'm thanking you, my dear Father, for training your army, for raising your warriors. Lord, we are not afraid to have our own ship. We are not afraid to move in what you gave birth to us. Maybe we are not seen, we are unseen, or maybe seen very little. But we know, Father, that our time will come. We know that we will occupy our place. And we will reach what we were born for. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your victory, for your success, for your happiness. I thank you, Father. Let your glory, Lord, cover this place. Please transform us, change us. We want to move to the next level. We want to go to the new level. I'm asking you, Lord, please teach us, change us. Break, Lord, what has to be broken. And let what is weak be strong. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.